You know, it's my favorite time of the year, Christmas, and we think about the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. If you want to turn to Luke chapter 2, and we're going to see something, a special, really something that happened in the early life of Jesus Christ. This is right after his birth. When we think about the birth of Jesus Christ, we think about the fact that God became a human being. Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven to become a person. He came to die on the cross to pay for sin and rise again. In Luke 2, we're going to see something that happened right after, basically right after the birth of Christ. We meet an older man named Simeon, and he's waiting to see the Messiah. Now, let me show you this. Here's what we're thinking about this man. He's a man who believed God, who obeyed God, and who worshiped God. And as we look at this man, we're going to see not only an event. Now, this is kind of unique this morning. So you get ready to turn your pages, because what we're going to do is going to have to go back to the Old Testament for a little bit, because we're going to see two different things when we look at it. We're going to see this event, but we're going to raise some questions. Why are Mary and Joseph bringing the baby Jesus to the temple? What's going on there? And we're going to see some of the Old Testament, how it fits together. Maybe some things you never thought about. We'll see that as we go through it. So let's do this. Let's start with a prayer, and then we'll get into our study. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you for this time of the year. When we think about the birth of our Savior, and Lord, we realize that at exactly the right time, Jesus Christ came into this world to be the Savior. That you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would never perish but have eternal life. We thank you that salvation is a gift. It's not based on our works or our goodness or anything, but it's based on Jesus Christ, who indeed is the Savior. Thank you, Lord, at this time of the year, we can talk to people and we can tell them the whole purpose of the birth of Jesus Christ is that he is the Savior who has come into the world. So, Lord, thank you for this time, and thank you as we think about Christmas and we think about the birth of our Savior. And, Lord, just as we look at this event, please teach us. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think one of the great joys in life is seeing a baby, seeing a young child. This morning, we're going to see a man who had the pleasure of holding the baby Jesus. Have you thought about that? What would it have been like to hold Jesus? Now, you think about it, you're holding the baby Jesus, but who is this baby Jesus? Not just a baby. He's the Son of God. He's the Savior of the world. He's not only are you holding him, but he's everywhere, right? Because he's God. I mean, think about it. In the temple, this man named Simeon takes Jesus into his arms and praises God and says he is the Savior of the world, he's the light of the world, and the glory of Israel. So here's some questions, really. Who is this man, and how did he know about Jesus? Well, this morning we're going to see a special event in the life of Jesus. It's 40 days after Jesus was born. And as we see this, we're going to see Mary brings Jesus to the temple in obedience to the laws. So let me show you this. We're going to break it down two parts. I'm going to go back to verse 21, but you can say 22 to 24. Why Mary brought Jesus to the temple? We're going to see, why was she bringing Jesus there? What was this whole thing about? And you're going to see something that's really unique, because we're going to go back and look at the law, okay? And then we're going to see verses 25 through 33, Simeon's message about Jesus. And it's really an incredible thing. So as we see the passage, we're going to see great truths about our Savior. Think about this, that when we think about the whole Christmas story, it's all about a Savior. Simeon declares that Jesus is the Savior. The angel to Mary declares that Jesus is the Savior. The angel to Joseph declares that Jesus is the Savior. The angels to the shepherds declare that Jesus is the Savior. Born this night, day in the city of David is a Savior, Christ the Lord. When we think about the birth of Jesus Christ, we're thinking about the birth of the Savior. I mean, it's really an unusual thing when you think about it. God says, I love human beings. They've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. They need a Savior. How am I going to save mankind? Well, in order to pay for mankind's sin, there has to be a perfect what? Perfect what? Perfect man. Well, no man's perfect. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God except one. Because at exactly the right time, God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to become a human being. People say, why did Jesus have to be born? Why did he have to come into the world? Because he had to become a human being so he could die for human beings. I always make the statement, and people usually give the wrong answer. I say, did God want human sacrifice? And most people say, no, God didn't want human sacrifice. Yes, he does. The only sacrifice that could please God was the perfect human sacrifice. So when we think about Jesus Christ coming into the world, we're thinking about the birth of the Savior. Let's start with this. Let's start with Mary bringing Jesus to the temple. Now remember Galatians 4:4, we're going to get a little background. Why was Mary coming to the temple? Why was she bringing Jesus to the temple? You may not realize this, but in Luke chapter 2 verses 21 and 22, there is a time period in there between 21 and 22, and we'll show you in a minute. Galatians 4:4, I've quoted it before, but it says, in the fullness of time, God brought forth his son, born of a woman, born under what? Anybody remember? Under law. See, when Jesus Christ came into the world, he came into the world as a Jewish man, as a Jewish little boy, as a Jewish man, and he lived under the Mosaic law system. You understand that Jesus Christ is the only person that ever kept the Mosaic law perfectly correct his whole life. He never sinned. So Jesus was a Jewish person living under the law. Jesus obeyed the law. We're going to find out that his mama and daddy obeyed the law. So let's talk about what happened, and we're going to look at Luke 2. This is Mary bringing Jesus to the temple. Let's look at three things, okay? We're going to see Jesus' circumcision, we're going to see Mary's purification, and we're going to see Jesus being presented to God. Now, let's do this in order to do it. Now, get ready. Hold your place in Luke chapter 2, and I want you to do that, and I want us to go back to Leviticus, okay? I want you to see something that may surprise you. Flip all the way back to Leviticus chapter 12. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus is the third book in the Bible, and go to chapter 12, Leviticus chapter 12, and we're going to start right there, and we're going to see what was a woman to do when she had a baby. Think about it. We know we talk about people having babies, and we just had some babies born in our church, and we're going to see them, and we talk to Debbie, and she's about to be a grandmother, and that's another baby. What did a woman do under the Mosaic law when she had a baby? Watch. Leviticus chapter 12, look at verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, spoke to Moses saying, speak to the sons of Israel. Ready? When a woman gives birth and bears a male child, then she shall be unclean for 7 days, as in the days of menstruation, that she shall be unclean, so 8 to 7 days. Then, notice, on the eighth day, since it's a boy, on the eighth day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. Okay, now watch. So, first of all, 7 days, then on the eighth day, they bring the little boy to be circumcised. Then look. Then she shall remain in the blood of your purification for 33 days. She shall not touch any consecrated thing nor enter the sanctuary until the days of your purification are complete. So when a woman had a baby, if it was a boy baby, you're going to be surprised in just a minute. If it was a boy baby, she was unclean for 7 days. Then on the eighth day, she could come and bring the boy to be circumcised. And then she had to wait 33 days, which made a total of 40 days, 7 and 33, 40 days. And at the end of 40 days, she came back for her purification. We'll talk about what. Now, I want you to see, what if she has a girl baby? Look at the next verse. But if she bears a female child, she shall be unclean for 2 weeks and remain in the blood of your purification for 66 days. So it'd be 80 days. It's twice as long. I guess girls are worse than boys. I mean, I don't know, right? So, I mean, that's... But anyway, so let's just think about it. So when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, that night, she had to wait 7 days. On the eighth day, they could come take Jesus to the temple and have him circumcised and named. Then she had to wait 33 days, which would make a total of 40 days. She would come back, and it's for her purification. We're going to talk about that in just a minute, because there's something else as well. If you where there, keep that slide right there. Go ahead. Jesus' circumcision, that's on the eighth day. Mary's purification, that's on what day? The 40th day. But look. Jesus being presented to God. Wait a minute. There's something else that's going to happen on that day. So we'll go back to Luke 2, and let's see what happens. Luke 2, look at verse 21. And when 8 days had passed, Okay, remember, what did the law say? 7 days she was unclean in that sense. And then on the eighth day, when the eighth day had passed, before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. So they come in and they circumcise Jesus and they name him Jesus. Okay? Now watch. And when the days for their purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Now, what purification are we talking about? Do you remember? That Mary's 33 more days, right? But she's also got to bring Jesus back for some reason. Okay? What is, I said, go ahead to the slide, that what is this presentation? What is it? Now, hold your place, and I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 13. Genesis, Exodus, second book. Now, do you remember when they were in Egypt, what was the last plague? Death of the what? Firstborn. And so the firstborn died. What? Who got saved when the Passover lamb was killed and the blood was on the door? Who got saved? Firstborn. Okay? Watch. Leviticus 13, verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, sanctify to me every firstborn, the firstborn offspring of every womb among the sons of Israel, both of man and beast, it belongs to me. Firstborn sons are set apart to who? To God. Okay, now I want you to think about that. Because he said there will be the death of the firstborn sons in Egypt, but with the Passover lamb and the blood and by faith you come out, he is saving the firstborn sons of Israel. Is that correct? Who do they belong to? They belong to God. He says, sanctify to me every firstborn, the firstborn of every womb, whether it's among the sons of Israel, both of man and beast, it belongs to me. So the firstborn son, the firstborn male, belongs to God. Now, something happened. Listen to this. Flip to the book of Numbers. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, the fourth book, and go to Numbers chapter 3. Verse 11, and the Lord spoke to Moses, now I have taken the Levites from among the sons of Israel instead of what? Every firstborn, the first issue of the womb among the sons of Israel, so the Levites shall be mine, for all the firstborn are mine. On the day that I struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified to myself all the firstborn in Israel, from the man and the beast, they shall be mine, I'm the Lord. Now what did he do? He said all firstborn belong to him, but he picked one tribe. Which tribe? Levites, and those firstborn all became his priest. And so he said, here's what I'm doing. I'm making a little change. All the firstborn of the tribe of Levi, and they're my priests. What about the firstborn that I said are mine? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to come to me and present your children to me, offer a sacrifice, and I will give them back to you. That's if they're not the tribe of Levi. Okay, so what you understand is that Mary had Jesus. 7 days she was set aside. Eighth day they came and circumcised him. They waited 40 days. She comes to make her presentation, but she's also coming to present Jesus because he's of the tribe of... No, Jesus is not the tribe of Levi. Jesus is the tribe of Judah. So what is she going to do? Since he's the tribe of Judah, she's got to present him, offer a sacrifice, and God does what? Gives him back. Okay, go back to Luke 2. Hopefully we'll be right on this when we turn back to the right place. Okay? Again, look at verse 1 just to get the flow. When 8 days had passed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. That's that. Now, 40 days have passed. When the days for their purification according to the law of Moses was completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Why are they presenting him to the Lord? Look at verse 23. As it is written in the law of Moses, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. So what are they doing? They are coming to present Jesus to God, offer the sacrifice, and take him back because he's not of the tribe of Levi. If you're Levite, they belong to God, and they served as the priest and worked in the tabernacle in the temple. Okay, does this make sense? So when we see this story about Mary coming to the temple, she's coming to the temple for her purification and to present Jesus. Now, what happened? What happened when she comes? This is an amazing thing. We're going to see Simeon. Okay, there we got it. Okay, I'm glad I had it right up there. Okay, you can go to the next slide. Let's see Simeon's message, and this is incredible. Now, we're going to meet this man who just so happens to show up at the temple on the day that Mary has brought Jesus on the 40th day to present him to God. Let's see what happens. Look at verse 25. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Let's think about this man. First of all, he was a man who lived in Jerusalem, and his name was Simeon. We're going to find that he was an older man. And look what is said about him. There are five things mentioned about him. Four things in verse 25 and one thing in verse 26. Let's put all of them up there. I think we've got them all right there. First of all, it says that he was righteous. Anybody know what that means when a man and when a person is called righteous? They were a believer in the Messiah because Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. A person who's called righteous in the scripture is a person who has believed, especially this time, believed in the Messiah, believed that the Messiah was coming, had trusted in there. So there was this man in Jerusalem, his name was Simeon, and he was a righteous man. He had put his faith in the coming Messiah. He didn't know who he was. But there's more. He's also called what? Devout. What that literally means is a God-fearer. Now, a lot of times I remember if you go back in the history of our country, people used to be saying they're a God-fearing person. And that sounds like that you're afraid of God. God-fearing means the idea of awe, that you recognize who God is, that he is the creator, redeemer, sustainer, provider, protector. He is everything, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and overflowing with loving kindness, deals with sin. I mean, he forgives sin. He's the powerful one. And so we look at him and go, we don't deserve to even be in his presence. Awe-inspiring. That's what it is. Okay, that's why I always say that people say, that's awesome pie. That was an awesome movie. Listen, I think the only thing that's awe-inspiring is Jesus, is God himself. There's some really great pieces of pie, but they're not awesome. Okay, only God, I think, is awesome. The third thing, look at this one. He was looking for the consolation of Israel. What is the consolation of Israel? Huh? The peace? What does that mean? I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying you're right. What does it mean? He was looking for the consolation of Israel. He's looking for the Messiah? How is the Messiah the consolation of Israel? He's the one that's going to take care of them. He's the one that's going to defeat the enemies. He's the one that's going to rule in righteousness and justice. Is that right? Is he the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world? Is he the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? And he is a Prince of Peace and the Mighty God and Everlasting Father? Is he all that Isaiah said? I mean, that's what they're waiting. He's saying, I'm waiting for the Messiah and the Savior to come, right? The consolation of Israel. Do you remember Isaiah 40? If you look in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah has how many chapters? Anybody know? 40. Is everybody afraid to say it because you're afraid if you're wrong, we'll go, hey, you're wrong. Well, listen, I couldn't even find the verses while I go, so I'm sure not going to get on you, okay? How many chapters in Isaiah? There's 66. How many books are there in the Bible? 66, right? You realize, how many books in the Old Testament? How many? 39. How many in the New Testament? 27. If you take the book of Isaiah and you go chapters 1 through 39, that whole part of the book is talking about the judgment and the law. Beginning chapter 40 through 66, which is 27 chapters, begins with the consolation of Israel, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, the Messiah is coming. So the first 39 chapters of Isaiah deal with the coming judgment, and chapters 40 through 66 deal with the Savior. the consolation of Israel is the one promised who's going to be the Messiah and the Savior. And that's why Isaiah 40 begins with the consolation and the one who is coming. Look at the fourth thing about this man, which is very unusual. And the Holy Spirit was what? Upon him. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now you say, well, how many of us in this room have the Holy Spirit living inside of us? Every one of us who know Christ, right? Now, how many people in the Old Testament had the Holy Spirit living inside them? Very few. Now, the Holy Spirit did not permanently indwell people in the Old Testament. In fact, sometimes the Holy Spirit would come for particular ministry and then leave. A guy by the name of Bezalel, who helped design all of these things for the tabernacle, God actually told Moses that the Holy Spirit will come upon this man and he will design all of the things for the tabernacle. It said that Saul, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Saul, and the Spirit of the Lord left Saul. It had nothing to do with salvation. So salvation in the Old Testament wasn't whether you had the Holy Spirit or not, because salvation is always the same as by what? By faith. So sometimes people had the Holy Spirit, sometimes people didn't. Look, this man had what? He had what? He had the Holy Spirit. I wonder why. See, he had the Holy Spirit. There's something special about this man. In fact, there's something that he's going to do. And the next verse tells us what it is. It had been revealed to him by who? By the Holy Spirit, that he would not see death before he had seen what? The Lord's Christ. The Messiah. The Savior. It's been revealed to him that he would not die until he... Listen, he's an older man, right? He knows. If somebody said, I hope you don't die in the next couple of weeks, he said, don't worry, I'm not going to die until I see what? Until I see the Messiah. He knew that he was not going to die until he saw the Messiah. What if God revealed to you that you would not die until you saw the rapture? Because that way you'd never die. That he said, what if God revealed to you that you will never physically die, that Jesus Christ is going to come back in your lifetime, and he revealed that to you? When people were talking about, I hope the rapture comes before we all die, you'd say what? It is for me. I don't know about you, but it is for me, right? What did Simeon know? That he would not die until he saw the Messiah. Now, did he think that one day he would be sitting somewhere and coming into Jerusalem riding on a donkey would be the Messiah and the King? Who knows? All he knows is he won't die until what? Sees the Messiah. So he's waiting. What are we waiting for? We're waiting for the what? The rapture. Yeah, what's the next event? The rapture. See, we're knowing that at any moment, what could happen? Jesus Christ could come, and he would come in the clouds. The dead in Christ will rise first. We who are alive and remain to be taken off the face of the earth. We'll be gone, right? Right? So what should we be doing knowing that he could come at any second? What should we do? Serve him. Live for him. Tell people. Look, how many more opportunities are you going to have to tell people about Jesus? You have no idea, because he could come at any second. It's not like we say, well, you got to have this, this, and this happen. He could come at any second. So that's why we should be excited and ready, especially at this time of the year when we think about Christmas and everybody's talking about Christmas and they're talking. And listen, the next time somebody says happy holidays to you, what should you say to them? I'd say, what holiday are you talking about? See, happy holidays, what holiday? What holiday are you talking about? What holiday is it? It's Christmas. So when somebody says happy holidays, say, what holiday? Which holiday are you celebrating? Right? Because I always say Merry Christmas. But if they do say Happy Holidays, you can say, hey, what holiday are you talking about? The winter solstice? Kwanzaa? Whatever could it be? New Year's? But then don't say Happy Holidays, say Happy New Year. Right? It was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit, he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Wow. What happened? Look at verse 27. And he came in the spirit into the temple. What does that mean? He came into the Spirit, into the temple. Next slide. He came in the temple being led by what? He got up that morning, and the Holy Spirit said, today's the day. I want you to go to the temple. At the temple today, you will see the Savior of the world. You'll see the Messiah. Can you imagine when he got up that day and God reveals to him that he needs to go to the temple? Because he may not have gone to the temple every day. May have, may not have. But for this day, it says, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit, he would not see death, for he had seen the Lord's Christ, and he came into the Spirit, into the temple. So he comes in there. He came into the temple. Let me just say this. You think what a great coincidence it is that it just so happens to be the day that Mary brings Jesus back. And what day is this? The 40th day. You think it's just a coincidence that Simeon says, you know, today I think I'm going to go on up to the temple. Now, Holy Spirit said, go to the temple. Today's the day. He came into the Spirit in the temple, and when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to carry out for him the custom of the law, what was the custom of the law? To present him, offer the sacrifice, and take your baby boy back. That's what the law said. Said they're obeying the law, right? He's a righteous man. He's a devout man. He's looking for the consolation of Israel. Holy Spirit is upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit he would not see death till the Lord, death until he'd seen the Christ. And so that day he got up in the leading of the Spirit, and he went into the temple, and he saw the parents bringing in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law. Watch what he does. And he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, now, you're Mary. You got baby Jesus. It's the 40th day. You come in. And this man you do not know comes and says, excuse me, give me that baby. Let me hold this baby. You go, does anybody know who this old man is? Anybody know who this old man is? Right? She just gave him the baby, right? Do most of y'all give your babies away to people you don't know in the temple? Right? He took him into his arms and blessed God and said, you can almost picture him coming in, and they're probably talking about the sacrifice and what are we supposed to offer? Because what were they supposed to offer? There were about three different things you could offer. You could offer a lamb. You could offer two little bitty birds. What do you think costs more, a lamb or two little bitty birds? The little birds. What do they offer? Two little bitty birds. Why did they offer two little bitty birds? They don't have any money. They don't have any money. Listen, where did they used to live? Nazareth. They used to live in Nazareth. But now where are they living? Probably just out somewhere around Bethlehem, probably. Maybe he's trying to find work. They don't have very much. And so when they come to the temple, they offer the least expensive sacrifice under the Mosaic law. Because they don't have any money. They don't even have enough money to buy a lamb and offer it as a sacrifice. So they get, let's get the two little birds. He took him into his arms and he blessed him. And look what he says, verse 29. Now, Lord, you're releasing your bondservant to depart in peace, according to your word. Let me know what he's saying. Let me die. Let me die. You've released me. I have seen what you promised. I have seen the Messiah. I can now die. You said I would not die until I saw the Messiah. I want you to notice what he says. He says, now, Lord, he calls him Lord, which is the idea of master. And he says, you're releasing your what? Bondservant. He calls himself a servant of God. He says, you're releasing your bondservant, your slave, so I can depart in peace according to your word. I can leave. I can go. I can go be with you because I have now seen who? The Messiah, the Christ. Notice what he said. I can now, because this is according to your word. What does he call himself? What should we call ourselves? Bond slaves. Who do we belong to? Who bought us? Jesus. What, do you not know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit is in you? You're not your own. You have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in our bodies. He called himself the bondservant of Christ. That's what we ought to call each other. We say, we're servants of Jesus Christ. That's why we're left on this earth. He says, listen, Lord, I'm ready to die. And then he explains, for my eyes have seen your, what? Salvation. He explains. Next, I think the slide said, I have seen your salvation. Salvation is in a what? A person. Don't ever forget it. Salvation is in a person. Next slide. I think salvation is in the person of Jesus Christ. It is not in an activity. It is not in a church. It is not in things you do. There are people who all the time say, what must I do to be saved? Well, you need to do this and this and this and try to live right and do this and keep the law and do this and baptize and walk down an aisle and give your life to Jesus and do all these kind of things. Salvation is not in what you do. Salvation is in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the Savior. He is the one who died and rose again. He's the one that offers the gift of eternal life. It is a gift. It costs you nothing. You receive the gift of Christ and of eternal life by faith in Jesus Christ. It's in the person of Christ. You are putting your faith in who? Jesus Christ. You're not putting your faith in what Jesus did. You're putting your faith in the person of Christ. Salvation is in a person. Don't get it mixed up. And so he said, for my eyes have seen your salvation. What's the salvation? He's holding him. He says, I can die. Thank you, Lord. I've seen it all. I've seen your salvation. Do you think Mary and Joseph are hearing this? Do you think they went very far away? If when he took the baby and started, they probably went, where do you think you're going with the baby, right? They're listening to everything he says. And he says, oh, Lord, I can die because I have seen your salvation. Wow. Acts 4:12. There was no other name given under heaven among men whereby we might be saved except the name who? Jesus Christ. He is the Savior. Look how he describes him. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples. And then he begins to describe him. A light of revelation to who? To the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. See, Jesus Christ is not just the Savior of the Jews. And he's not just the Savior of the Gentiles. He's the Savior of the world. He says he is a light. Light to the Gentiles and the glory of Israel. Think about this light aspect. He's the light of the world. Is he not the light of the world? I mean, after he grew up and he goes into the temple and he's over 30 years old and he's doing his ministry and he says, I am the light of the world. The light of the world. But more than that, he is the glory of Israel. How is he the glory of Israel? How is Jesus the glory of Israel? He is. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords, but he's also the King of who? When they crucified him, what did it say? Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. He's the King of the Jews. He's the King of kings. Listen, I told you the story about sitting on the airplane going from Dallas to Amarillo, and I sat by Miss Pfefferman, who is a Jewish lady. And we started talking, and I said, oh, I love Jewish people. She said, why do you love Jewish people? And I said, because my Savior is Jewish. See, he's the glory of who? Israel. Out of all of the people groups that's ever been in the whole world, there is one people group that God chose, not for their salvation, for their service. He chose a man named Abram, Big Daddy, and changed his name to Abraham, father of many nations. And Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And he used Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to the 12 tribes to that people group in which the Messiah would come and be the Savior of the world. He's the glory of Israel. Now today, do most Jewish people see Jesus of Nazareth as their glorious king? No, they will one day. They will one day. Because Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11 says, and one day Israel will be what? Saved. They will turn to the Messiah, Jesus Christ. This little old man holding that baby says, I can die because I've seen the salvation. He is the light of the world and the glory of Israel. What did they do? Look at verse 33. And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. Simeon declares that Jesus Christ is the Savior, the light to the nations, and the glory of Israel. So what have we seen? We've seen that Mary brings Jesus to the temple to fulfill the law. First to circumcise him, then to come back 40 days later, 40 days total, to offer her purification, but also to present him, offer the sacrifice, and take him back. Simeon comes in by being controlled by the Holy Spirit, who had been promised that he would not die till he saw the Messiah. And he picks him up, holds him in his arms, says, "I can die. I've seen the Savior. I've seen your salvation, the light of the world, the glory of Israel." So applications. Realize that salvation is in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. That's why it's so important that when we talk about Christmas, see, the whole issue of going to heaven and having eternal life and all that, it's not based on our actions. It's not based on religion. It's not based on what people do. It's based on the person of Christ, who is the Savior, the Redeemer, the Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, Provider, Protector. He's everything. He's the one that died for us, paid for our sins, and rose again. And he's the one that we believe in. There is no name given under heaven. He is the satisfactory payment, not for our sins only, for the sins of the entire world. That's who he is. Salvation is in the person of Christ. We want people to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. Second, and it's time to stop, but the second is this: at this Christmas time, may we declare Jesus Christ the Savior. See, we talk about the birth of the baby, but we need to tell people why the baby was born. I mean, it's the greatest story when even children can understand that particular night a baby was born, and there were the shepherds and all of this stuff and the people and Mary, and then 40 days later all of this happened and all this. But why did this baby come into the world? So he could grow up and die for us and be the Savior. Jesus Christ is the Savior. Maybe proclaim this Christmas that salvation is in the person of Jesus Christ, the one born in Bethlehem, the Savior of the world.